the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And looking at today's reading, there are two important things that popped out at me, and I couldn't decide whether I wanted to talk about what stuck out in the epistle or in the gospel, so I decided why not do both. Two for the price of one today. But I promise, for my own sake, I'll keep the sermon at a normal length. Won't go too long. But on a serious note, I do want to point out in the epistle this saying that you, meaning us collectively, it's the plural you, you can't tell that in English, but you are the temple of the living God. You see, throughout human history, in essentially every ancient religion, even most modern religions, people have a holy place. Something physical, where they identify God being in the sense that he is not there otherwise. We see this, of course, in ancient Judaism with the temple, and God even warning the people not to idolize the temple. And the people then idolizing that physical building, and God then sending the Babylonians to destroy the temple. Because if we read Scripture, brothers and sisters, we see that God had them doing his work in destroying the temple. Why? Because the people idolized this physical building. These people were attached to a very specific geographical point. And even to this day, God forbid, they're shedding of blood because of this and because of this identifying with the physical location. And as we read throughout Scripture, this is not what God desires. We see it in other religions too, outside of Christianity, where most religions have some form of a temple, some place that is considered, some spot that is considered to be holy. And even unfortunately today in Christianity, and even in our Orthodox Church, through the influence first of Constantine and Helen, and the finding of the cross and so forth, and then other Roman emperors who liked the pilgrimage industry to Jerusalem and so forth, we see so many Christians that identify holy places and holy things instead of listening to what we hear in Scripture, that you are the living temple. And so even today, some Christians agree with or are complicit with, not outright condoning, the shedding of blood over real estate and over physical places. And again, it should not be so, because as we hear today, we are the temple of the living God. And that has impact in the way that we should live our lives, as we heard at the end of today's reading. Therefore, let us put off all sin and live in holiness. Understanding that we are the temple of God, it should impact the way that we treat our bodies. It should impact what we put in our bodies, food and drink, proper health, exercise. It should impact what we allow to come out of our body, what we allow to come out of our mouth, because, brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be holy as the temple of the living God. And all of that reverence, all of that honor with which people treat holy places, we ought to treat not only ourselves, but our brothers and sisters. Because it's not just you as me, one person, is the temple of God, but you, again, plural, are the temple of God. So when we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should see through the sinfulness, through the limitations of this world, and we should recognize them as being one stone, so to speak, in that temple of the living God. And we ought to treat them that way. In today's gospel reading of St. Matthew, we heard something else that is quite significant that I believe we need to understand. And many people may say, when you first hear what Jesus said, people ask me, Father, why does Jesus say what he says? It was very harsh. with this Canaanite woman. Now remember, the Canaanites were the principal enemies of Israel. I mean, you have this battle, right, where Israel kills the Canaanite people to take over what they then call the Holy Land. And so they are the principal enemy of the people of Israel. And so Jesus hears that this Canaanite woman has been bothering his disciples about her daughter who was ill. And she wishes that Jesus would heal her. And Jesus says, it's not fair for me to take the bread, the main part of the meal, the teaching, as we've heard at other times throughout Scripture, bread is the teaching of Scripture. It's not fair for me to take of the bread and to give it to the dogs. Why is Jesus referring to her as a dog? Because dogs were one of the main considered unclean animals. And if you've ever been over to Israel and you've seen the dogs running around, they're not like our domesticated dogs. You'll understand why they were considered to be unclean. But people say, why did Jesus do this? He does this because of what happens afterwards. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs can feed from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What does that mean? What it means is that this woman was not asking to take anything away from Israel. This woman was not asking to take anything away from anyone else that would hear Jesus' teaching or that needed Jesus' time. She just wanted the crumbs that fell from the table. And if we understand this correctly, we should understand this in a broader sense to be the love of God. If God loves us, it doesn't mean He can't love someone else. That's not the way that it works. God's love is infinite. He can love you and He can love your neighbor. He can love you and at the same time, believe it or not, He can love your enemy. And in principle, we all know this. But the way that we often behave is though that God's love is limited or finite. We often wish evil upon our enemy. We often secretly hope in our hearts that maybe something will happen to our enemy that will teach them the lesson that we want to teach them, or that we think that they need to be taught. But we need to realize, brothers and sisters, that God's love is unlimited. For Him to love me doesn't mean He has to take away love from you. To become a member of this church, we can have all the members that we can possibly get in here. It doesn't take away my love from one member to another. We minister to all, no matter what their needs. No matter how much they might be despised by this world, we share that same love with them, and in doing so, it takes nothing away from anyone else here in this parish. In fact, one might argue that the love multiplies even more and more the more it is shared. It is infinite, and yet ever extending, if that's possible. But that is the way that God's love is. And that's what Jesus is expressing to us today by having this dialogue with the Canaanite woman, with the enemy of Israel. It's telling us, have no enemies. Recognize that your God is their God. And that by sharing that table of fellowship with them, by welcoming them in, by reconciling with them, you take nothing away from anyone else. You take nothing away from your community, but you simply add to and spread God's love. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.